This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, 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 good morning. We're up all night to have fun. That was the music of Pharrell and, of course, Daft Punk, Get Lucky.
What a song.
You look like you got lucky.
I always look like I got lucky. I've
got
you
look
glow.
Like you want to get lucky.
Oh, no. Oh, those are two very different things.
What, getting lucky and wanting to get lucky? Isn't it the same thing?
No, because when you've gotten lucky, you've got a glow when you're happy. When you want to get lucky, I don't know, it must be a look of desperation and sadness.
Like, I don't know about
I've
that.
I've got hope in my heart.
I think to get lucky, you already got to look lucky, don't you think? I think you just got to be like, you got to start out looking
so
lucky
it.
To get lucky. You got to fake it until you make it. I've started using a very fine tooth comb lately.
I can tell.
I realized, you know, my problem wasn't necessarily that I wasn't combing, but you know how it is when you have like natural hair, like that, that real hair. As
I've
the American
calls
nappy, you know?
Yeah.
And you know, like you before you leave in the morning, you'll comb. In fact, I don't know if you know this because you got that other hair. But you know, for us normal, ordinary black people, you'll comb in the morning, right? You'll comb hard and long, man.
Yeah.
You'll put in all the stuff, you know, the sprays, the conditioners.
Yeah.
And if it's not a fine tooth comb enough, within an hour, as soon as like literally your hair starts to dry up a little bit, it just goes back to that hard, small curl. And it looks like you didn't comb
that
at all.
Difficult curl.
Yeah, that difficult curl. You know, that painful curl.
No, but then it also looks bad. Like for the eye, it's difficult for the eye to digest. It's like,
the eye is just, you know, it's like, did this guy actually shower before he came to work today? You know?
That's it.
And then you got to be explaining the whole day. No, actually, I did shower. It's just my hair is natural. I'm doing this thing. And then you got to explain why your hair is natural. Because like, so why don't you get a cut? No, I'm doing this film. So for character, I've got to like just be shaggy right now. And yeah. So today, in fact, the past couple of days, I decided, you know what? Let me just bite the bullet and start using a fine tooth comb.
But that's painful.
It's painful for you too?
No, for me too.
I didn't know good hair people had painful black hair situations.
I did not always have good hair.
Oh really?
I didn't.
How did that happen? What?
You know.
How do you get plastic surgery for good hair? Did your mom pay for that too?
Wow. The shot's fired.
No. Just, like you either have it from day one or you don't. There's
no.
Day I woke up and I had good hair.
No, you know what happened? Like when I was very young, I used to be one of those clumsy kids who, you know, like you drop off your kid, they look like they washed, you pick them up, there's like leaves in their hair.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Like,
they got ashy knees. You're an ashy knee kid, I can see that.
And I'd left a sock somewhere. And my mom's favorite line used to be like, if you do not come home with that sock tomorrow, do not bother coming in my
car. I've heard that as well. And then you're like...
And in my head, I'd be like, well, I guess I'm homeless.
You know what I mean? It's like, where am I going to start with that sock? If I could have found it today, it would be in my possession. What is going to change tomorrow?
Exactly.
This sock is gone.
And then sometimes you start plotting how to steal someone else's sock. Because you're like, damn, okay, if Bobby leaves his sock out.
Because like, this is when you were at school, so you're wearing uniform, so you have the same socks, right?
It's pretty much. But anyway,
you don't
want to
be that black
hair.
Kid with the sock stealing situation. Because it's like, I mean,
come on. How poor are you?
You know what I mean? Like, you have to steal a sock. You bring us down, man, as like a nation. Now everyone's looking at all the black kids like, yeah, you see, that's how you guys are.
But you know what? Sometimes, you know what's the worst? When somehow you manage to take two shoes, right?
Yeah.
So you take two shoes home. You don't put them on at school. In the morning, now you've got two left shoes or two right shoes.
Oh, dang.
One is big, one is small.
That never happened to me.
You know what I just like put it on and go to school. Because I was like, I'm not getting beat. Like, I'm just going to pretend
keep
like
quiet
this
about it until you get to school. No, that was the right thing to do. I mean, I can't blame you for that. Like, you get beat for anything, you know, growing up.
Oh my
That's
gosh.
How it was. So you just like keep going. So how did the hair
hair situation. So basically, my mom would pick me up with this nappy hair and like, you know, there's stuff in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she was trying to punish me, but she'd make me comb it.
That's when you have to comb it? When it's dry?
Yeah.
You don't comb black hair when it's dry.
Oh my gosh.
With what kind of comb?
First, she'd give me like an afro comb, and then, you know, the fine tooth comb also has like the little wider part.
Yeah, yeah.
Then like, it's a three-step process.
Yeah, it's a three-step.
Start with the afro. Afro,
was
the
afro comb the one with the steel? Because that's the worst. I'm so glad they stopped making
steel.
Those.
Oh my gosh.
They used to make those in the 80s. I think it was part of the apartheid government's
punishment.
It was part of their whole plan.
Let them kill themselves.
Because I'm like, why would you make this? Who did they try it on themselves? Do they have my kind of hair? There is no hair situation that
warrants that.
I know. Because it's just painful from the beginning to the end. You it's need a plastic. Worst. You need something soft that just kind of works with your hair.
Right? And it, when it touches your scalp, you don't feel like, you know, you're like shaving your hair. It's just like a good hair situation.
Yeah, I know. So, I mean, yeah. We've been through it. It's been rough, you know, for us as black people. Oh, my goodness. With the hair situation.
And my grandmother used to do this thing to keep my hair tidy because I said I used to be a crazy kid. So she'd plait my hair with wool. Now, like, it's just wool, like cotton, not like cotton wool, but it's like a string of wool, right? And she takes it and she wraps it around your hair. But my grandmother back in the day didn't have much patience. So, like, you know, the
generally grown-ups didn't for kids' hair.
Right? And then she'd, like, be pulling and tugging and I'm crying. Then she's like, shut up. And then she buys me a lollipop and I'm still crying while I'm sucking my lollipop.
I think that's why, like,
absolute,
you know,
trauma.
We've had hair trauma as black people generally. Like, growing up, my father... You know, there'd be days if he was doing the bathing that night, you know it's gonna be an almost drowning situation. Because he insists on washing your hair as well, right?
Oh.
But you're in the bath with your brother. This guy is scrubbing you with that tooth. What was that stone that we used to use back in the day, right?
Why?
I don't know why we got to be scrubbed on the body with that stone. Like, I don't have calluses on my thighs.
But did you notice? I realized very early on in my life that the way white kids get washed and the way we get bathed were very different.
Exactly.
Like, the way we'd get bathed, until you saw the brown in the water.
You know what I mean? It's like they were trying to wash the black off us. White kids are just in and out. Like, just put some soap on you and just in and out, you know?
Like, we even use an orange sack like
on your whole body.
Can I tell you,
that was supposed to be for your heels,
yes,
your cracked heels. But it's like, up to this day, right? I'm sure you've seen people.
Up to this day, I still have it in my shop.
No.
I'm a black person with an orange sack.
There's new things now.
No.
You can't do that.
No.
No, that's a definite fail. That would be like, we cannot go forward in this relationship.
This is like my ghetto trait.
If I was like really thinking about, you know, I think I could ask my uncles to come and pay that lobola. And then I came to your house and I found an orange sack. I would be like, you know what, guys, don't bother. It's okay.
No.
Stop the preparations.
But there's so many ways to be able to justify an orange sack. Washing a bath, you know, because it's good for that kind of stuff.
There is no more justification of an orange sack in the year 2016. We have freedom now.
No, you have to like wash the bath with it.
You can use that scrubbing sponge thing.
I don't like the scrubbing sponge because it's not versatile enough. Like with the orange sack, you can unfold it, do your thing, fold it, you know.
Then you got to have a cupboard or something that you put that orange sack in. Like that orange sack, once you finish with it, you got to take it outside. It cannot live in the bathroom. I mean, can you imagine?
Inconvenience my living.
You spend all this money. You bought the best tiles possible. It's like 5,000 rand a tile. You know, you bought these tabs from Italy and then there's an orange sack on the heated towel rack. No, like, what the hell? No, on the heated towel rack.
You know what?
Get out.
You know what?
You can't live in this state.
No.
You can't live in this state with me
anymore.
There's
just some things for me that I feel like are just age old. Like, they've been tried and tested by our ancestors. Like, why should I change it now?
She got a 20 million rand house
and
an orange sack in the bathroom. That's just not going to work, man.
I like it.
So like my dad, right? When he baths you, so there'd be that orange sack situation all over your body. You're like, my nipples.
And then when you touch yourself, right, afterwards,
you just like sit in the corner just like shaking and crying, you know? Yeah. And then after he washes your hair, right, so he'll take the washing rack and just like literally dunk all this water over your head, and like just as you're trying to catch your breath, it's like waterboarding. I understand now. I can go to Guantanamo Bay and I'll be like, is that all you got? Because I've taken this before.
But
you
can
know?
I ask you something? Have you ever been in a situation where you were poor enough to wash in a bucket?
Have I been in a situation where I was poor?
No. I mean, like poor, where you like wash in a bucket, you boil your water. Yes, you know,
look, if you grew up in the township in the 80s. And you didn't have one of the houses in the extensions, the big ones?
Yes, extension 1, 2.
Yeah, three. It means this, two things. One, toilet outside.
Yeah.
When they say 4 rooms, they mean 4 rooms.
Yes, right.
Like they weren't kidding. Like, I thought this is literal.
Trying to explain this to like someone in primary school. I was like, no, she lives in a 4-room house. Yeah. Oh, okay, that's big. I'm like, no,
not 4-bedroom.
No, but I didn't even understand. To me, I was like, okay, it must be big. It must be big because if this white kid says that 4 rooms is big, then 4 rooms must be huge.
Because we didn't understand that actually there's 4-bedroom houses. So you know, we just lived there 4 rooms. And like, no, not 4 bedrooms. Like that's the entire house. You know,
so my
y'all gotta make it work,
right? So when I was like still in my formative years, my grandmother, like, she had a 2-room, back room. So it's a two room back room.
You had to have the back room. Exactly. Because where the big brother is going to stay.
And she used to run a Shabin.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay.
No, it was just my grandmother, myself, and my older brother. Yeah. So it was the one room, which was the kitchen, lounge, Shabin, everything.
Yeah, yeah. My grandmother used to run a Shabin as well, right?
And then you go through the door, and that's our room, our bedroom, slash TV room, slash where the fridge stays, slash where the alcohol stays.
Oh, wow. So, yeah, yeah. Because that would happen. That would have to happen in Shabin. You can't just keep it in the kitchen.
No.
You got to lock it up.
Right?
Yeah.
So I used to live with my grandmother. So I was like, just my head didn't work right when I was a kid. So she said, okay, I'm going to shop, right? Boil the water, wash. By the time I come back, you know, you must be done.
Yeah.
So then I go through the motions, you know, I get naked, I boil the water, but I got caught up in a TV. I think it was like a soapy.
Because it's in your room.
Yeah, because like now TVs. I'm watching a soapy.
Yeah.
When I heard her voice, oh my, I was like, it's about to go down.
Of course.
Then, now how you're like trying to dress.
But you haven't washed.
Let me pretend I washed. As I'm trying to dress, she walks in. She literally, it was like a movie scene. She dropped what
in slow
she
motion.
Had. She took the towel and she chased me around.
I'm doing the sound effects. Keep talking.
She chased me around the little room.
Hey.
Corner.
Yeah. Around the room, right?
No, well, it
was full room, but you made your way around it. What?
It was barely around the room. Let me just. Yeah. We were doing a two step.
Yes, yes. It was
one two step. That's how these dances come about. Let me see you one two step.
Yeah, because that's all the space you had in the TV room slash lounge slash other bedroom you know. I remember growing up, we there was a four-roomed house situation, and you know when I was living with my cousins, I was very very young. I was about. Yeah. Three probably, and I used to think that, you know, they were balling because at least their forum was plastic, right? And they had the big windows, and they had the shiny stoop, and
they had the shiny stoop
and they had the rockery,
with
like a whole garden and stuff.
Damn,
you know,
and
they had an
balling.
Indoor, you know, bathroom with a bath, like it had a bath.
Wait, what?
But of course, you know, there's two taps, one for cold and one for hot. But the hot water tap just like didn't really work. You know, there was no water coming out. So for years growing up, I always thought that it was just an extra tap, just in case you need to swap taps. You know, because generally, like you said, you have to boil the water.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you put that I don't know what you call it, but it's like a basin, plastic basin, the bath. And then you wash in that.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Now, there's five kids, plus me, that's six kids, and two grown-ups. Every morning, we have to go to work and school, whatever. So, it's like they have to boil water for nine people.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, basically. And well, we all have to take turns washing, right?
Were they like young women there? Because I know...
Yes, they were.
The
my cousins were a little bit older at the time, right?
Oh, my... Because when in the Eastern Cape, just recently when I went... Like that was my duty, boiling water. I think it was the bane of my existence.
That's
as
like,
a woman, that
whole,
is your whole. Like you boil that for everyone.
Yeah.
Like you can start boiling water at eight.
You know, I mean, it should be taken seriously. There should be like awards at the end of the year, best water boiler. You know, you did a great job. Like water was always ready on time. Especially in areas like that, like sometimes you gotta go fetch the water.
Oh my god, no! But you know, the lack of I realized I could never live in the Eastern Cape, because the lack of appreciation for that ish, like it's expected. It's actually frowned down upon if you don't do it.
Yes, yes.
Like who do you think you are with your bougie accent?
You mean you didn't boil the water? I mean, I know you're trying to take over the world, like you're the head of this corporation, you didn't boil the water.
They don't care.
Okay.
You could be like the CEO and that four bedroom.
I'm really happy for you that you got this MBA, but you didn't boil the water. Yeah.
Like, what are you good for? And you're not even married. So it shows that it's because you couldn't boil water.
Exactly. That's why no one's going to marry you, because Lobola is very pricey in the Eastern Cape. They don't play around. And I think that for those who don't know better, if you're marrying a woman from the Eastern Cape, you got to really know what your money's buying. You know, don't take it at face value. You know, do due diligence. Like test that shit.
What
ask her.
What is the checklist?
Yeah, yeah. Like at least like have a couple of weeks where you live together. That's good. And check if she like knows how to boil the water. Even if you have
switch off the geezer.
Like the geezer does not exist. Okay. That other tap, like we spoke about, close it. The hot water tap, so that doesn't exist.
That is ridiculous.
Okay, because you need to be sure after you've paid that kind of lobola. I've never heard of those kind of prices. I mean, a guy I know back in, I think 2010 paid 100,000 lobola. That's before you get married. You know, and it's like, wow.
Well, that is the marriage.
Damn. Yeah. You know, that's like, yeah. What are we spending for the wedding? Listen, you're not getting an engagement ring because that was the
lobola. The car was the engagement ring.
Yeah. That's it, you know.
Be happy and smile.
And actually, I made that mistake of buying my wife an engagement ring before the lobola.
Oh, no.
And I was like, yo, bam, look at this engagement ring. Yo, it's Janet Clifford. It's like this massive, big diamond, you know. With the clarity and the cognac diamonds around it and sparkling,
and you like color, it's like clarity. Bang,
it's like in your face. And they were like not impressed. They were like, oh, okay, where's the lobola?
It's all cute that you bought her a ring.
It's all nice, you know, we really appreciate it, but you could have just started with the lobola. In fact, we could have put that money towards the lobola, you know, and then you could have just bought a,
that is so traumatic,
a tin bracelet.
Damn, you could have just told her.
Yeah, I could have just told her. Like, you know, once obviously you've paid the lobola, then, like, we'll tell her. Don't worry. We'll just let her know.
We'll inform her. We'll pass along the message.
And then they insist on cash, right? Mm. So, I mean, that's a general thing. So now you're thinking, in Mtata. am I going to bring it down in the car with me? Because I picked it up in Joburg at the bank, or I'm going to get it there. You know, am I going to go to the bank there and just like, hi guys, I'm here to make withdrawal for 100,000.
And can I have it in small notes?
You know, tens and twenties.
Yeah. Because if you're going to rock up with money, it can't be in 200 rand notes. You know?
No,
because
I mean, then it looks small.
Yeah, then it looks like you didn't do your due diligence.
I mean, that's so basically, like, I think that's 50, that's basically 50 notes.
50 stacks. Yeah,
yeah, that's 50. No, that's five stacks.
Five stacks, yeah.
That's not like impressive.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's like, you know, you can hold that in a hand. Yeah. No, you need like that. Boom, boom.
You need 100 stacks. Like, here you go. Boom. What? Put it in a paper bag.
No.
Okay,
no,
well, anyway, we've been talking about all this stuff. We've got a great lineup for you on today's show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about Christian Heath coming up later on, who is going to be debuting his new song, I'm Yours.
Debuting? How fun is
and
that?
And he's going to be playing
that's
it
amazing.
Live. I mean, he's sitting up outside right now.
That's pretty an impressive setup. That
it's
is
a very impressive setup. I mean, you know, I just thought he was going to bring guitars.
Me
like,
too.
Sit next to the mic. We're going to hear like this faint guitar in the background.
No, he brought the whole operation. Like, literally.
He brought a proper singing mic and everything.
I know. But you know what? Can I tell you, when I met Christian, I met him at gym. And it's so funny because I meet all my people at gym.
You meet a lot of guys at gym, eh? Yeah. Guys, if you're interested in Candace, you know where to find her at the gym.
I guess I'm more approachable when I'm working out. What can I say?
Yeah, like as she's doing the, you know, her 100th sit up or whatever, that's the time to come through and say, hey, what's up? You come here often?
Anyway, so I met him at the gym and he invited me to one of his gigs, right? Mm-hmm. So I went and I was like, oh, you know, like, I knew he probably could sing, but I was just like, oh, I don't know.
The white boys love you, eh? The white boys, they love you, eh? Yo, what have you got? Oh, hey, Candy Pants?
Wow, okay. So then anyway... I went to his gig and he could actually sing. Yeah. And you know what he was singing? He was singing R&B.
Wow.
You know, like, I was just like, damn.
You never expected it.
Never. I was never ready. I was so like, what?
So, yeah, I can. You want to come to my gig? Then he just then he's like, doesn't speak like that?
Well, we're going to hear him speak. He's like watching you.
He's a big guy too.
He's a big guy.
I'm a little bit intimidated. And he's got a guitar.
And he goes to gym.
Oh, he goes to gym as well? Oh,
I told you, I met him at the gym. Wow. Man.
Can he bench press a bullet?
This is what happens when guests are trying to debut their music on our show.
I'm just a little bit. I'm sorry. He's like, he's in great shape. He sings R&B. And I can't help myself but be a little bit jealous. You know how it is.
But you don't have that voice like that.
I mean, I'm just like, I mean, what does a brother got to do? You know, it's like, you know, there's always these people who are like just coming in here. And it's just like the stakes keep getting higher.
Oh, my gosh. You know? It is too much.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what's coming up later on. I'm very excited about that. And I hope he gets to sing that R&B song because I'd love to hear that track as well.
I hope he'll sing us a little bit.
Because I heard I'm Yours and it's one of it's those great. Songs that's quite epic. You know, it's a big song. Mm. It's got a big production. Mm. And it's got those lyrics, you know, that are very epic. It's one of those songs you want to play at your wedding type of thing, you know. But I'm concerned, and we're going to talk about that later, that you might be making like very big promises on that one. And in my experience, I've learned that A man should generally under promise. I've learned that the hard way, you know, because you know we like to like over promise, like oh, get the sun and the moon. And I think it's a hangover from the R&B of the 90s. Oh, yeah. You know, I'll get you the sun and the moon and whatever.
But can I tell you? I think that's actually. I was in a conversation with another guy, a friend of mine, and I just thought, you know, R&B has gotten us in so much trouble.
Yeah.
It has gotten us in so much, like when you listen to Luther Vandross, you know, his songs.
And he wasn't even singing to a woman.
Which makes it so believable because, you know what, when Luther sang, he was speaking to a woman's heart because he understood what we were feeling.
Exactly. He was like, the woman.
Do not diss Luther.
No, I love Luther.
Luther is like,
look, I'm not dissing Luther. I just think we should be truthful. I love Luther like anybody else because a chair is still a chair even if there's no one sitting there.
But a house is not a home.
Mm-hmm. But that's a good
Pritchett.
One. That's
no,
a good one.
That's a beautiful one. But then...
But then the 90s came and I think people got lazy.
No. Because then he sang about... what did he say? That I'd rather have bad times with you than good times with someone else. And then he started making us think that, you know what? This guy better be unhappy with me because he's not going to go be happy with someone else. Yeah. And we convinced you that pain is love.
No, that's, you know what? That's like, I don't know what it is. black relationships and pain is love. Like, no.
Angela Bassett.
Can we not?
Can I tell you like how, it was so funny. I was watching Waiting to Exhale.
Oh my God.
With some of my girlfriends. And you know what I realized? Only the next day. Not on the day. The next day, because I was pumped up on the day.
Yeah.
I was like, a nigga better try and cheat on me. I will burn his car down. I don't care about the police. I didn't care. And then the next day, I was like, That was crazy. I might be crazy.
And you know, the crazy thing about, especially 90s R&B movies, right? We have like Waiting to Exhale, and we all went to watch it. And I watched that. And I was like, oh my gosh, I felt Angela's pain. You know, 11 years and you made love to say to you.
11 years I sacrificed.
Without the kids, I got nothing to show. And you're like, whoa.
What we can show is that neither one of us can sing.
Well, you know, you were in the wrong key, so I had to just follow you right there.
Okay.
But I felt the pain. Yeah. I was like, yeah, burn his car. How dare he? And then you grow up and you're like, actually, you know what? Like, stuff like that happens all the time.
Right.
So can we not be burning anybody's car? Because insurance is going to have a hard time believing that it was an accident.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but like, it's so funny because a friend of mine actually, I should stop calling out my friends because they're going to listen to this and be like, you're making us sound crazy. But she came and she said to me, look, you know, they're going to, if this guy cheats, what we're going to do is we're going to go scratch his car. So I thought she was joking. I'm like, girl, damn. Then she's like, no, we're going to go scratch his car. She came with a thing that we could scratch the car with. It's like a shoe polish tin that's got fork holes in it. So apparently, like when you walk past the car, it does maximum damage.
Oh, my Lord.
She like thought this out. I was like, damn, girl.
I must say, I'm a little bit disappointed in that notion, you know.
I was like, what?
But I don't understand this, okay? And while Christian's sitting up, why is it that when women feel hurt in a relationship, they feel that they must give maximum pain? Like, okay, he cheated on you. Okay, fine.
Okay,
he cheated on you. So now either we must go beat him up, we must get someone to beat him up, we must scratch his car. But if a man said, you know, my girl, my wife cheated on me. Let's go fuck up a car, you know, or let's organize for my sisters to go fuck her up. That would be wrong. We're looking at arrest. We're looking at some jail time, right?
What kind of diva tendencies would the man be displaying? I don't understand. Like, what kind of a
lump
ass man are you dating?
But surely, because we all want equality in an equal society, we should treat each other the same way. It's like, okay,
men, right? Like, you know what I find?
It's not like men don't get cheated on.
No. Yeah, they get cheated on. But there's, like, in society, right, everyone's got their clique. So they're different cliques of men, right? And I find that sometimes the higher you go in those cliques, the more diva-ish they tend to be. Like, the more self-proclaimed they tend to be. They think they're the best thing since sliced bread,
right,
you know?
Okay.
And I think with them, they would never, if they had to, like, start scratching your kind-ish, that would be a problem. Like, you have to lay charges because you know they're balling, so... They better pay out.
Oh, so she's not bawling. Like, okay, you scratched my car, but I know I've been the one helping you with the rent, and I know you don't have the money for
this. No, because
for this,
if you were sharing expenses, 80,000
rand
paint
job. So you know what,
you're
girl?
Like,
let bygones be bygones. Right? I guess I deserved it, right? Yeah. Hell no! I'm going to the police. We're equal now. Police, damage, malicious damage to property.
But
here is a number.
Because if a woman is smart, she's not going to come and write her name on your car. She's not going to be like, Susan was here, the great you thing cheating
about, the
bastard.
The great thing about women is exactly that. It'll be about you cheating bastard. Like, so you'll call and you'll be like, oh, you'll send a text. Just send a text. Yeah. What did you do to my car? You deserved it. I did that, blah.
No, a smart woman will be like, I don't know what you're talking about, and hang up.
A smart woman.
A smart woman is the kind you should be staying away from.
A smart woman would have never scratched the car in the first place.
No, she would have.
No, she wouldn't.
No. You know what? Because everyone
especially,
thinks,
let's say you're married, right? Yes. So it's a marriage situation.
Okay.
And you're about to get divorced after that, right? Now you scratch the car. The value of the car has gone down, or you burnt it or whatever. The insurance is not paying out. Whatever happens in the divorce settlement, you're just getting less.
Ah, okay.
So a smart woman would be like, you know what, daddy? Go out there and work really hard, especially when you can see that the relationship is about to like come to an end.
Mm-mm.
You are the biggest support. You like there for this guy, okay, so that in those last couple of months you can make maximum
profit.
Returns and profit, so that when you leave his ass and you leave with half, you're leaving with something substantial.
Okay, that is true, because that's a marriage situation, right? You want to leave with the most.
Yes.
The most you can get.
Yes.
And I think, but that's the thing, that men are always fighting this thing. You know the biggest lie men fed women?
What's
and
that?
I was into this damn conspiracy until I woke up.
What's that?
That they're like, oh, you know what's the biggest kick in the face you can do for a man is leaving him with everything he's got.
Yeah, that's,
and showing
that's
him
the
that
worst
you
thing
don't
you can
even
do.
Nigga, just, please,
just take
I'm
your
taking
bags.
Mine.
Just take your bags.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I fell into that. And then I was like,
just take your bags and leave a Dear John letter.
Okay, no. Yeah. I'll leave my Dear John letter in the empty house.
No. Leave it with everything there, like everything.
No.
My heart will not take it.
I'm bringing a delivery truck. I'm taking the furniture, whether I bought it or not. I'm taking the fridge.
I wish somebody would, you know, just leave with a Dear John letter and their bags. It's like, yeah.
No, it's so funny because
the next day we're having a party.
Oh my, because all the man's going to do is he's going to cry a couple of days, but he's going to be like, damn, I'm so happy she left me with all of this.
Because he's going to realize, you know, later, like, actually, this is not such a bad situation.
Yeah.
This is like better than I thought. You mean she's never coming back?
She's never coming back.
Like,
she left me
like,
with everything.
No, tell me again, because I don't know if I can believe this. I just want to be sure so I don't get my hopes up.
So
like, you're sure she's not coming back?
It's tears of joy, not tears
you're
of sorrow.
You're sure? Like, I want to be sure. Because I'm planning a party on Thursday night, and I don't want it to like rock. It's going to be awkward.
Right.
Because it's going to be me and five naked 25-year-olds. You know, and I don't want it, like, that would be disruptive.
That,
you know?
It would be a problem.
Yeah.
It would be problematic.
It would be problematic. Because they're certainly not going to be there at my small flat, you know.
But that's the lie. I don't know who started. I don't know who started this damn lie that they fed women, and they fed them well. They really lied to us, and we were all like in the women's congregations we hold. We're like, you know what? A strong woman does not need anything. A strong woman only needs, you know, her pride and like give him back his ring, give him back his car. No.
Yeah, give
damn.
Back that ring.
No.
That's valuable.
No. I'm pawning that ring. I'm taking the car.
The price of diamonds only goes up, you know.
But it brings me to this. Did you see this divorce? It's a woman in she was a model in I think in Dubai.
Yeah.
She was a model, she married one of the sheikhs, right?
Uh-huh.
Who's worth like $3 billion.
Mm-hmm.
$3 billion.
You say that again.
And $3 billion.
Yes, you said that with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, right?
Sounded like $3 billion.
Jeez.
Yeah.
So she got a divorce. So she was awarded.
And she left with just her bags.
No. Please.
Okay.
She was smarter than that.
You don't marry a sheikh to leave with your bags,
no.
Right? No.
So she sued. Because he was like, you know, leave with your bag. He already moved in someone else, by the way.
Oh.
He divorced in Muslim law, and he was living with someone else.
I'm surprised that wasn't happening, like, for years.
Right.
You know, because you can marry up to, like, whatever.
No. So then she ended up suing him, and she got £100 million. And she was disappointed. She says she's happy and grateful, but she's very disappointed because her lifestyle. So she accounted that she needs £10 million for her wardrobe a year because it's the life she was accustomed to.
Huh?
And she needs. And she, I was just like, this is.
You got to scale down, girl.
I was like, I need a Dubai
Things
sheikh.
Things have changed.
I need a good divorce in my life.
Look, those guys are freaks, though. You don't need a Dubai sheikh.
Ooh,
they're freakish. You heard about
too
what
much.
They've
I've
done
seen
when
the
blessings. The blessings.
Ooh.
Who go there.
Would you ever sacrifice that much for some money? Oh, hell no.
Oh, you know, $20,000, I suppose. You know.
No, that's disgusting. $20,000. It doesn't even sound like much.
That is
disgusting.
That's what
you
I heard.
Took it all the way.
I had
that's
to take
disgusting.
It there. We had to be. So, we got in the studio with us, Mr. Christian Heath. We don't have a. Oh, wait. I think I've got applause. Hang on a second. Do I have.
Do we have applause?
You know Ooh. What? Wait. Here we go. I've got a horn.
That's all.
I don't want to do that too much because then it sounds like we're on T-Bow Touch's show and he's certainly not in the studio. Let me make sure that he is with us. So I'm going to just put on all the damn mics. I'm not even sure which one is which anymore.
I can hear you.
I can hear you.
Hey, Chris.
What's happening?
How you doing, guy?
What about yourself?
I hope you didn't take me seriously out there. You know?
Never, never.
I'm a joker. I believe in humor. Humor can heal the world.
It seems like a bit of backtracking to me. Humor, I'm just saying.
And you know, I don't know if I mentioned that I used to box with Nick Durant. And we're still good friends.
I could see by the physique.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's how it happened. And Mark Batchelor is my neighbor. You know, I try to avoid him because he's dangerous, but I just want you to know that I know him.
Should anything happen?
Should anything happen to me, Mark? You know Mark Batchelor, right? He'll be after you. You scared the crap out of Oscar.
I feel like we shouldn't even be saying that name on air.
Anyway, I mean, like, but that's unfair because, like, you're an R&B singer, okay? That's not your thing. Like, you're about love. Right? You like you solve the world's problem. You got a six pack and you're about love. Like, help me out with that. R&B singers, they're these like tough looking guys and they're all about love.
Right, and then you know? Like step to the mic and
like you don't
back.
Need to do that. You got the six pack now. You can just say, bitch, come here.
That's why you're unsuccessful.
That's why it's not working, right? But I don't have the six pack, so it makes it even worse. So anyway, how you doing, bro?
All right, yourself.
I'm good. Look, we're very excited about hearing your song. Give us like I don't know. Tell us about yourself. Where are you from, first of all?
Me, originally from East London.
Ah, yes, of course. Yeah, East London. No, Eastern Cape.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. From the coast.
Epai.
Yeah.
Am I right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so yeah, Tete Tosa.
Andy Funam Tlanjigok.
Oh, okay. That's Tete.
A little bit.
Candice won't hear you.
I'm like, this is embarrassing.
And I mean, what was it like growing up in the Eastern Cape and what made you get into the kind of music that you now do? Growing up in the Eastern Cape.
Yeah, it's completely different to Joburg. You know, a lot more slower.
Yeah.
You know, it's people like to take their time to do anything.
My in-laws are from there.
Yeah, that's it. It's very, very chill.
It makes Cape Town look
Cape,
like it's
know?
On a speed vibe. It's, like it's so slow. Yeah.
Music's been with me since like day one, you know. Mm.
I mean, you started your vocal training at 7.
Yeah.
This is for real. You don't just like wake up one day and think,
I might be able to sing.
Yeah, let me do this. It's just, I don't feel like being an accountant.
No, I definitely went through my coaches. I mean, I was at the age of 7, started out with voice training. It was classical training. And then from there, moved up to doing theatrical, jazz, went varsity at Nelson Mandela.
Metropolitan.
Yep. Yeah.
Well, it's changed now. I think it's just...
In MU?
I don't know, man. But anyway, I was at Metropolitan University in Port Elizabeth, and then I was coached there as well to do just like you know jazz stuff. And then I moved to.
What did you study at
music?
Oh, okay. Yeah. So what kind of music? Because I know that a lot of the times you go to varsity and it's like jazz.
Yeah, it's classical. Jazz or classical. You know, it's the light of the classical. Mm-hmm. So I went to the jazz side of things, and then eventually just made my way up to Joburg. You know, packed my stuff, had nothing, moved up to Joburg, and just started out. Yeah, met a fantastic guy by the name of I was introduced to. Fantastic guy by the name of Jared Aston, who's been a mentor and he's been guiding me through everything since I've been here. I mean, I've been up in Joburg for about 6-7 years now.
All right.
Jeez, yeah.
So, I mean, you study jazz. Does that mean you can do jazz hands really well?
Yeah.
You did that for a long time. 4 years is a long time. I mean, really? I expect at least to be able to do like some
I think
jazz
everyone
hands.
Can do jazz hands, degree or no degree.
No, but he's a professional.
Oh, like a professional like, jazz hander.
Yeah.
Like all respect to jazz and that, I just found my vibe in the contemporary pop R&B kind of vibe and that, you know. Okay.
But what drives someone like you to pop R&B? I mean, because you could have done rock and,
Look, I love rock, you know. I used to do rock as well and stuff like that. It's just the trends have changed.
Mm.
I've got so much respect for the R&B singers out there. I mean, even the adult contemporary pop guys, you know, Ed Sheeran.
Yeah.
What I'm listening to right now is a lot of Boyz II Men.
Oh.
It is... Mm. Mm. It's Boyz II Men, Brian McKnight.
Damn.
Yeah, okay. And I'm definitely
like,
enjoying
throw
it.
Throw it in there.
I've got some great friends in that always just say, "What? I'm listening to some Usher stuff." And
oh man,
you know, I'm just really, really enjoying that. I'm just, you know, and I mean, I've always used to just write rock songs, and I love writing ballads. And
actually, that's a good question because you know, lately I've been listening to a lot of '80s rock power ballads.
Yeah.
You know, and like those guys were in love. You know, they were like.
Like Aerosmith and
but nowadays the rock guys don't do that love thing anymore at all. I can't remember the last time I heard a rock ballad.
A good rock,
a contemporary.
Yeah. You know, like I say, things have changed. You know, I suppose also in each writer's, it's writing a song is so unique and it's so personal for every writer. Not everyone wants to write a love song. Mm. Me personally, I love writing love songs. I love to sing love songs to people. You know, for me, I can connect.
So. You know, as an actor, you can play a villain, but that doesn't mean you're a villain.
That's correct.
So as a singer, can you write love songs
without being in love?
Exactly. And still be a dirty, cheating.
Of course you can.
Bastard.
Of course you can.
Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I see.
No, look, yeah, look. Normally, with me, my process is, has changed quite a bit. You know, I used to write predominantly by myself, and then I just now I've decided to write with a team of writers and that. So I write with everyone in the industry who's willing to write with me, and I just find that the blend of everyone writing together is pretty cool. You know, we bring a bit of flavor, and I mean, musicians, you know, we're very funny people, and that we are very much in touch with our emotional side as well.
You have to be, right?
Yeah, I mean, don't deny it. It's the only way that you are gonna
connect.
Whether it's angry, happy, sad, you know, there's no doubt about it that we are connected, you know, to everything that we write. So I mean, to write a song unconnected,
but it must be terrifying when you're writing a song and you're putting your whole feelings onto a page. And you know, sometimes you'll write a breakup song, or you'll write a song that might be a love song, but it's not "I love you," it's just "I've had enough of you" sort of thing. Do you ever worry, like, I mean, you're a married man, you're a family man, you've got two kids, right?
I have one child.
One child, how old?
He's 5 years old.
He's 5 years old. Yeah. Congrats, man. Great stuff. We love to hear that. I mean, we like to hear about fathers. But do you ever, like, worry if you're writing a breakup song and your wife is going to hear it and you have to explain, like, this really was not about you?
You know, funny enough, I've got such a fantastic family. I mean, they are so supportive, 100% behind me. You know, I mean, I couldn't have asked for the best, you know, possible wife ever. Yeah, you know, honestly, I believe that, because, I mean, she just supports me. She knows what I do, and I love what I do for a living. And it's the same with my son. I mean, I can show you pictures of my son climbing up on stage with an electric guitar and playing with me on stage.
Man.
And
that's awesome.
He's such a cutie, though.
I think the difficult thing with anyone that's in a relationship with a musician is just the support factor of it.
And it can be quite difficult, isn't it? Because you have to gig. That's how you make your money.
Gig, and the thing is also the whole, you know, crowd thing. You know, you
the pandemonium.
You know, you socialize with you know, with people that really enjoy your stuff, and you know, it's a bit difficult.
The ladies. You've had some
crazy lady experiences, though. I think they're going to get worse now that you've written love songs. Tell us, like, your craziest, like, your most out there lady experience that won't get you in trouble.
Censored or uncensored?
What? It's uncensored radio.
It's uncensored. You can say what you want.
Craziest lady experience. Jeez, I don't think my wife even knows.
It's a good time
to confess. She's going
to
know today.
I suppose I was down in Port Elizabeth and I was singing a song, and it's the first time it's ever happened to me where it's back in the single days.
You are, like, blushing already. Yeah, go on.
Because I couldn't even believe myself. You know, it just shows the power of love songs. I sang I did a track down there, but I was doing a cover song, and I sang to a girl down in Port Elizabeth, and she looked at me and basically took her hands put it in between her thighs and ran out.
Oh.
So I was like, okay, what kind of, so I went down, I spoke
that's
to the
how
fence.
Powerful you are.
Well,
I need this guy's mojo.
Skills,
I need
skills,
that
right?
I need, like, teach me
your ways.
So yeah, I spoke to her friends and said, what happened? Because she looked like she had a heart attack, you know. They said, no, she's never been sang to before. Oh, and she kind of wet herself.
Bam, brother.
So I was like, well,
powerful.
Damn.
Powerful man.
I was just like, good song.
You got the anointing. I want some of that anointing.
I don't think that's what they were thinking.
It was hilarious. Definitely an experience, I won't lie.
I'm kind of, you know what, I'm kind of grateful that God didn't allow me to be an R&B singer.
I'm grateful too. I feel
because
like you would have
I don't
been
know if I could have handled it. No. I don't think I could have, like, handled it. I'm just being honest.
But Lionel Richie came out and said he slept with over what? 1,000, 2,000 women?
Yeah, that would have been me, you know. And I know that if I was on stage, I would have said to the ladies, you know, ladies, just if you want to throw anything, write your number on the panties, throw them on stage, and I'll get back to you according to the smell.
Well, since Ed Sheeran's popped up on the scene, the Ginger Boys have been having a great
time. Oh, yeah, they have, haven't they? It's, like, it's been awesome. Yeah.
Respect, you know?
Yeah, but okay, we're about to go into your song. Are you guys ready?
We're going to just do, I think, a quick little sound check so we don't do anything stupid.
So hang on, before you do a sound check, let us go to a commercial break.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to, that really matters.
At Sibanye, We believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today, which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
This is cliffcentral.com.
Alrighty, the guys have set up. They're
I'm
ready
so
to
excited.
Go. I'm very excited as well. I hope he doesn't have that powerful effect he had last time on you today, Candice, because that'll be
okay. I'm in all winter clothes. Nothing to worry about.
Yeah, ne.
We're ready.
Okay, so anyway, we got the guys now. For the first time. For the first time. We can hear you guys. You're coming through nice and clear.
Is it?
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah. For the first time ever on the weekly mashup, we're going live.
Yeah.
Guys.
I'm a visionary.
All right, well, it was all Candice's doing, yes. It was her. I had nothing to do with it. She made this all happen. Well done, Candy.
Oh, thank
you're amazing. You know
thank
that,
you.
And you look good too. So
oh,
it's like just that combination. It's like wow.
Shush. Let's go to the
yeah,
song.
Let's do this. Okay, here we go.
Ready.
Cool. Blinded by my passion, hidden from the truth. It means to love you. No matter what the distance, we're galaxies apart. I'll follow you down every road to the depths of your heart. Till the sun breaks the horizon, we'll meet the dawn. 'Cause I'm yours in the heat of the desert sun. Yours till the battle has been won. There from the start until it is over. Till our love becomes a supernova. Yours in the night and the darkest places, yours in the sea of unfamiliar faces, there to protect you and keep you warm. Stand in the way of an atomic bomb. I'm yours in the heat of the desert sun. Yours till the battle has been won. There from the start until it is over. Till our love becomes a supernova. Yours in the heat of the desert sun. Yours till the battle has been won. There from the start until it is over. Till our love becomes a supernova.
Wow.
Wow.
Thank you guys. That was amazing. I'm gonna actually just change wow. I'm even gonna change like the music in the
jeez,
background
yeah,
and everything
that's,
else, right?
That was beautiful. You guys that just was. Went live on Facebook, by the way. So I was live Facebooking.
I
should have
done that Snapchat thing. I don't even know how to do it. But anyway.
It's amazing. Wow.
Quick dang. Chat. You guys are gonna play us another song though, right? Before we go.
Please, Chris. Just a little snippet
yeah, yeah.
of your other song.
But that was for you ladies. If there are
your
any ladies out there who wet themselves as a result of Christian
Heath. we're laughing at just the
and actually Christian, like you know, like are you like the Christian are you like that
Christian
kind of Christian
Grey
from the book?
Maybe.
Any man who's called Christian nowadays, I'm like, you know what? This guy's dangerous.
But what a name, right?
And he does work out, so, you know, it could hurt you in a nice
wife.
Way.
Will you, if we beg you nicely?
To do another song?
Just a snippet.
Just a snippet.
Of oh, no,
well,
no, no, no.
No, you don't have to do Paradise. You can do something else. Boys to Men, whatever comes to your mind.
But anyway, when is the album being released?
It's actually released. Well, we're doing singles at the moment.
Yeah.
So
okay.
The single's released today on iTunes, which is fantastic.
Right. And music, I'm Yours.
That's I'm yours. Yeah, that's correct.
Christian Heath, I'm yours on iTunes. It's out right now.
Yeah, music video's also up as well.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, no, got a killer music video. Yes, big thanks to Fairway Hotel and that. Yeah, and Beat Apart Pictures, Brandon Lorette.
Where do we find the music video?
You can check it on the website, christianheath.co.za.
All right.
It's on YouTube, so you're more than welcome to have a look at that.
Okay.
Yeah, and then it's also on Facebook, social media, so to have a look and that.
Check it out.
Going everywhere out there.
And do you have a fan page on Facebook?
Yeah, I do. It's just Christian Heath.
Christian Heath. And Twitter the same?
It's Christian HTH.
Okay.
HTH.
Correct. Instagram as well.
And then on Facebook, they can also get a list of your gig guide, where you're going to be, where you're going to perform.
Yeah, yeah. At the moment, I'm so much in studio at the moment, so there won't be any gigs. I'm just busy finishing a whole bunch of singles with the Hit Lab, with Howie Cameron and Gun 7. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to still be in studio for quite some time.
Yeah.
Keep posted. I'll looking forward. There are a couple of things in the pipeline that I've just got to just finalise.
Yeah.
Possible tour happening at the end of the year and that. So,
That's going to be amazing.
Speaking to the couple of guys in the industry as well that are keen to have me on board and that. But I mean, like I say, keep an eye out and things and that. And, look on Fluid Media as well. They'll have all the dates and that.
Fluid Media.
Well, that was a great track, I must say.
That was amazing.
You did promise a lot, though. I mean, you know,
in the lyrics, right? Damn.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those songs that you play on your first date, like when you just fall in love. And then after a couple of years, when that song plays, it's like, you just fast forward it. Oh, no, she fast forwards it. She's like, whatever.
But
whatever.
I feel like this is the kind of
supernova.
Song.
No. Just try and love me till Tuesday.
I feel like I would play this song to someone. I would play it and be like, you know, let it sink into their subconscious. And when they start singing it to themselves, you know, like.
But your guy better know, like a couple of like things about physics and stuff. Because otherwise, because my first thing was like, okay, if I had to love you like a supernova, let's just look at like the qualities of the supernova. Isn't that when the star actually explodes and dies?
Yeah. Well, it goes, yeah.
I mean, you know, because it sounds all nice and fun until somebody dies. And that's what you're saying. Until the sun dies. I'll love you until then.
Well, there is that moment, you know, where you feel like you're in heaven. Yeah, there's an explosion, you know.
That explosion,
that moment.
Like
then,
in heaven,
you know?
Yeah. So. Hopefully it's for both of you.
Yeah.
If she gets it first, you know, that's what a gentleman would be. You have your supernova first and then I'll have mine after. Wow. Are you done?
Wow, such a beautiful song. And I'm
sorry, did I miss it? I'm so sorry. I'm just trying to keep it real.
Keep it real.
Yeah. But that's
taken the meaning of the song to a whole new level. I'm sorry.
You're like, even when I was writing it, I did not think of that.
It's definitely not the direction I was aiming for. But
okay, all right. Let's wind it back. That was amazing. And I think, you know, it should be like people's wedding theme songs. Do you mind actually if people ever like used your lyrics and they use that in their vows? Like, would that be okay?
But isn't that like flattering?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Right? Yeah. I mean, the fact that you wrote such genius lyrics that we once use it in our vows.
Yeah, that'll be amazing. And I think I would be quite flattered. So
As long as they don't like use it to capitalize, you know, like
some people will use it for evil. Yeah.
Brother needs skills, use the lyrics.
Where can we download those lyrics? Where can we find them? Because, you know, sometimes you just want to write a quick WhatsApp message and you don't have anything to say. You just need a little bit of help.
Copy-paste.
Yeah, copy-paste.
I'll make sure I'll upload them.
Yeah, upload them on Facebook.
Please. No, but seriously, please upload the lyrics.
I'll definitely do that.
But I always thought that the lyrics were great when I heard the song for the first time.
It took 6 years to get them done. So.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's beautiful to hear, you know, like it took that much time.
Yeah.
Because we all expect that, exactly. We all expect that good music happens overnight.
Yeah.
Like you thought about it in your sleep, you woke up.
Look,
and you sang.
It's been a very difficult song. I've had it in the archives for like 6 years. I wrote it down when I was in Port Elizabeth.
Okay.
Came up here and I just met up with a fantastic songwriter, Andre Skippers.
Yeah.
I said, look, I needed help to complete the song because I am in a bit of a block. And he just helped me and we just put it together and it was fantastic, you know.
Jeez, but it's a beautiful
song. What was it that was missing until Andre came on board?
Well, look, you know, the whole message of the song is just, it's just basically a relationship that is no matter how far, no matter where you are in there, it'll just... Mm. Be that powerful, whether it be lovers, whether it be family, whether it be all that kind of thing, and we're just conveying the message across, you know, strong enough, because, you know, lyrics is a very, very a special thing, and you know, it's
there's
a
an
difficult.
Art and a science at the same
that's
time.
That's it. You know what I mean? You know, to write the right right words so people can connect with it as well. You know, so it's just getting the
because
right lyrics.
The reason why I'm asking you that is like, what does it take for someone to be able like. To be able to do that, because a lot of people I think that you just write a couple of lines and it kind of works out.
It's inspiration,
you know?
Inspiration, you know, it's life, you know. I mean, Howie Komrink always said, you know, even when he's on tour, you know, every single day is an inspiration to write a new song you learn new things all the time. It's with everything that you do, movie you watch, you know, a loved one that you sit with, child that you, you know, playing with my kid, there's just always inspiration to write about that. You know, there's moments that you never forget. I mean, you see plenty of people, unfortunately, leaving the country and they think that they'll never see each other again. And the thing is, it's not true. You know, I mean, as big as the world is, the way the world has basically, you know, just modernized, we can get to any place in the world. You know, it's that easy now. You know, so the thing is, that's what the song's basically about. You know, if it's a long distance relationship, you know, it's, you'll just always be there. There's no fear.
But I think I love the authenticity of it, you know, because I think that's what connects with people. But you know,
we're out of here.
We've had
gotta
such
go.
A great show.
And I have to tell you, I know you're from Reimsug because that's how you met her, right? You're the deepest, most emotionally connected man I've ever met from Reimsug. And I know a couple of guys from there. And you know, maybe we should just leave them, like, just lead them to the social media page so that they can also, they can learn, because it's hard, you know, you go to that KFC and you can see that guys just need to be more in touch.
We're talking about the song, not Jim. Jim's a different world.
All right, we're out of here. So we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for coming through, Christian. Go and find that single on iTunes. It's called I Am Yours by Christian Heath.
I'm yours.
Bye,
adios.
Guys.
Thank you. Cheers, man. Bye.
This is CliffCentral.com.